on Tuesday, December 16th, 2014. If you're joining us online, this is Senator Anna McKinnon. We are in the Anchorage Temporary LIO on the first floor. Joining me this morning, online, Senator Bishop, are you there?
Yes, ma'am.
Senator Meyer, Senator Giesel, again myself, Senator McKinnon, Representative Mike Hawker, Representative Bob Herron. Is there anyone else online joining us? Seeing no more, we do have a quorum to conduct business. The first item on the agenda is the approval of the minutes from our previous LB&A committee meetings. Representative Hawker.
And thank you, Madam Chair. Madam Chair, if you indulge us just a moment of personal privilege.
Certainly.
Thank you very kindly. I would like to introduce the committee one more time to Pauline Swanson, who has now rejoined my staff as one of my senior legislative aides, who will be the senior LB&A aide next session.
Yay.
Yay. Welcome back, Pauline.
And for the Representative Hawker, if I might, and for those of you who are listening online, I do plan on requesting the committee's indulgence to bring Pauline Swanson into the executive committee session so that she can help with the transition as we go forward for LB&A.
Much appreciated.
Representative Hawker.
Madam Chair, I move that the minutes from the following legislative budget and audit meetings be approved as presented. October 28th, October 29th, the morning of November 28th, the afternoon of November 28th, and December 2nd.
Thank you, Representative Hawker. Are there any objections? Seeing and hearing no objections, those meeting minutes are approved. I would like to note for the committee that Representative Kawasaki has joined us. Representative Kawasaki, are you online? Representative Scott Kawasaki, are you online? I've been notified that he is, but until he acknowledges it, we won't record him here. Also, joining us in the audience, Representative Sam Keto, welcome. Representative Keto, if you'd like to join us at the microphones, you can join us at the, I believe we have an empty seat. The next item under committee business will be the discussion of two RPLs. Mr. Teal, are you online?
I am, Madam Chair.
Mr. Teal with Legislative Finance will briefly walk us through the two requests. Three requests.
I was going to say three, I think. The first is 0550211, and in it, the Department of Education, Alaska State Council, and the Arts is requesting $120,000 of statutory designated program receipts authorization so that they can use funding from the Margaret A. Cargill Foundation.
Mr. Teal, can you pause for a moment? We're having trouble hearing you here in Anchorage, and I don't want the clerk who's trying to record the meeting minutes to have difficulty reading. If you could just pause for a minute, we'll check on our audio.
Okay, I move the mic closer, too. Does that help?
Not much. Little bit, though. Thank you. Ms. Peer is checking with Anchorage staff here to see if we can get the volume turned up. We're good to go. Mr. Teal, if you could start again.
Okay, RPL 05-5-0211, in which the Department of Education, Alaska State Council on the Arts, requests $120,000 of statutory designated program receipts authorization that would allow them to accept funding provided by the Margaret A. Cargill Foundation. The money is available as an Alaska Arts Education Planning Partnership Project grant, and it's intended to develop a plan to increase the competency, tenure, and expertise of art teachers in Alaska. And in particular, this funding would be used to explore the best methods of supporting early career professional development in arts teaching methodologies.
Are there any questions from committee members?
Madam Chair.
Representative Hawker.
David, as I look at the letter, the November 20th, 2014 letter from the Margaret A. Cargill Foundation, am I correct in understanding that the urgency of this matter is that the grant payment of $120,000 will be payable immediately upon receipt of the signed conditions of the grant agreement if we approve it today?
That was my understanding, but...
Thank you.
Yes, it is. I just checked in the audience. That's true.
Representative Hawker, I do have from the Department of Education Early Development, Shannon Dodd. She's here if you have any further questions.
I'm covered, ma'am.
Thank you. Any other questions from committee members? Mr. Teal, please continue. We'll go for the motions after we finish the discussion.
Okay. RPO 08-5-0194. That in that the Department of Commerce, Community and Economic Development is requesting $1.5 million of EVO's trust funding for construction of the Cordova Community Center. And they plan to move the trust, plans to move the majority of its administration from Anchorage to Cordova. In November of 2010, the council approved a little over $7 million for this project, with the intent of providing about a third of the funds needed to construct the facility. You had RPLs in front of you, and there are several appropriations listed in the RPL prior to this RPL. And in this RPL, there's a statement that the project costs have risen since those appropriations, and to maintain the intended level funding level of one-third of total project costs, the Trust Council approved an additional $1.3 million of trust money plus about $200,000 in earnings. The RPL does not provide the full cost of the building or the shares of that cost, the state, EVOS, the city, and private donations. And it contains a somewhat cryptic statement on page 2, just above the budgetary issues heading, that the funding in the RPL will facilitate the project obtaining the balance of the anticipated funding needs from private donations. So we were slightly confused by the funding history of this, as our best information shows that to date there's about $10.5 million of UGF appropriated to this project, plus another $1 million from the commercial passenger vessel fund. And this would bring EVO's funding up to about 9. That includes the interest, and it includes this RPL. So I believe that representatives from the city of Cordova and from EVO's are available to address questions that you may have regarding the project cost, the funding, and how much additional money from various sources might be required to complete the project, if you have questions.
Thank you. We also have online from DCCED, Jeannie Mungle, Representative Hawker.
And thank you, Madam Chair. And apologies, I hadn't had a chance to talk this one over with you, but I personally have some trepidation about this one item on our RPL list today. And I want to make it very clear to anybody listening, it's not opposition to the EVOS or opposition to the Cordova facility, but I am concerned that us here just simply approving another $1.5 million out of the EVOS to this project is premature and without an adequate due diligence on behalf of the legislature. It's something that we classically at LBNA do, and we look at things, we get a request, and we say, you know, that really belongs in the capital budgeting process of the legislature, where it can be evaluated in more detail, with the benefit of the entire legislature, as well as providing the proper time for it to be analyzed and presented to the finance committees. I know we can probably get a response and a desire or a justification for it at this time, but unless, you know, it's a life, health, safety, mission critical emergency funding at this point, I personally let you know, ma'am, that I'm not going to be able to support this particular RPL at this time.
Thank you, Representative Hawker. Ms. Mungo, are you online?
Good morning, committee members. For the record, my name is Jeannie Mungel, Administrative Services Director for the Department of Commerce, Community, and Economic Development. And Madam Chair, yes, I'm available to answer questions to the best of my ability.
Mungo, you've heard Representative Hawker express concerns. I share those concerns. If you could try to outline for us why this is coming before us today and what the urgency is in the request.
Certainly, Madam Chair. I'd like to point out that the project's completion, target completion date is scheduled for May of 2015. And so in light of that target completion date, it was determined that we would bring this to your attention and request the RPL approval at this point.
Representative Hawker.
Thank you, ma'am. You just stated it was you're trying to get this done by May of 2015, and you're asking, you're pointing at you've got $1.5 million overrun, or maybe even more than that, because you're talking about. I agree, David. That was a very good description you used. I think same thing had caught me. This cryptic statement. In addition, securing these funds will facilitate the project obtaining the balance of anticipated needs. This is something it would seem that you folks should have been aware of long before this meeting here in at the end of December. Why has this shown up all of a sudden on our plate? What has made the emergency? Why has it shown up today on our plate? Why wasn't it identified earlier? And what is the consequence if the estimated completion date, as you've stated, and I've got no basis for knowing whether that's right or wrong, or it's an engineer's estimate or an accountant's estimate, of going later than May 2015 if we postpone the decision on this funding into the legislative session?
Representative Hawker, through the chair, this was brought to our attention in November as a need, and there are commitments. Our commitment was one-third. I'm sorry, not ours. This is not a project that is a commerce project. We are simply, because we have grant authority with the Division of Community and Regional Affairs, we are facilitating this request through the grant process. It was brought to our attention that this additional funding was needed in order to secure the two-thirds of the total project costs that have come from a variety of sources at the local, state, and federal levels.
Representative Hawker, follow-up? If not, I have other questions.
Yeah, why don't you go ahead? Because I don't think I got quite the answer.
Let's formulate it.
Yeah.
Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This project's been around for a while. I remember working with Representative Thomas on this through the capital budget process back again when I was the capital budget guy in the House. And it seems like the scope has changed. I remember when this was first presented to the House Finance Committee, it was going to be a community center for the city of Cordova. And it looks like now it's expanded to a library, museum, conference center, and of course the EVOS folks are going to meet there. And I'm just wondering if it appears to me anyway, if my memory is correct, that the scope has changed, if that's what's now adding to your cost. And I'm also curious, since the state has been funding this through the capital budget for a while, is this going to be it, or will you be coming back for additional capital money and perhaps even some operating costs to operate this? So maybe you can just refresh my memory from back when this whole process started 5 years or so ago and where we're at now and what the total cost of the project is and if this will be sufficient to finish the money you need.
Senator Meyer, through the chair, questions related to the progress and the how the project may have changed throughout the process is not something that I can answer. It is my understanding that there were on the line Elise Hasai with the Exxon Valdez Trustee Council. She may be available to answer some of those questions better than I would be able to do.
But, Madam Chair, I would agree with Representative Hawker that if this could wait, I would support that and then let the finance committees kind of go into more detail on this, including the history and where we're going as far as the future with this project.
Thank you, Senator Meyer. I will direct your attention to the bottom of the first page in your packet on this issue under previous legislative consideration in the top of the following page. That shows the commitment to this project that the state has supported to date. And I wanted to, Representative Kawasaki, are you now rejoined with us online or online?
Yes, I am, Madam Chair. Thank you very much. Can you hear me? Hello, can you hear me?
Representative Kawasaki, yes, a little loud.
Okay, yeah, I'm online. Thank you very much, Madam Chair.
Representative Kawasaki, we're looking at an RPL. Are you with us, Department of Commerce, Community and Economic Development?
Yes.
08-5-0194.
Yes, I am. Thank you.
I apologize. Senator Meyer, did you want to ask a question to a specific person?
No, Madam Chair. I just wanted to voice my concerns and comments and give a little historical on this project. And I think you brought up a good point, too, just showing the amount of support that the state has given to this project. And I'm thinking that the project has expanded over the years because, in my mind, this should have been done some time ago. And I just want to make sure, and that's why I think that the Senate Finance, House Finance Committee is a better place to ask the questions. I just want to make sure that there isn't some expectation of future funding, both from a capital and an operating side.
Thank you, Senator Meyer. I just would throw out to anyone else online, is there anyone that wants to speak to the committee, address the committee before we set this RPL aside? Identify yourself for the record so that we know who you are.
Representative Olson.
Representative Kurt Olson?
Yes.
Okay, Representative
Olson. The other one's a senator.
That is true. I just want to make sure. Representative Olson, are you just letting us know you're online? You don't have a comment on this particular RPL?
No, I just found that a minute ago.
Is there anyone else that would like to address the committee on the Cordova Community Center facility? Hearing no one, we'll set that RPL aside. The next RPL in front of us, Mr. Teal.
Thank you. The next RPL is number 18-5-0360. In it, the Department of Environmental Conservation is requesting $1.5 million of federal receipts. The money comes from the National Ocean and Atmospheric Administration, NOAA, and it's for marine debris cleanup activities related to the tsunami that struck Japan in March of 2011. And although the final funding has not yet been awarded for this from NOAA, the department expects to receive $900,000 in December, within the next couple of weeks, and another $600,000 in February of 15. So the department is requesting the authorization now to ensure that contracts can be finalized in April of 15, and cleanup activities can occur between May and September of 2015.
Thank you, Mr. Teal. Are there questions from committee members? Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Madam Chair. David, it may be somewhere here and I'm just missing it, but we appropriated some capital money, GF money, to this project as well. Do you remember how much that was?
I'm looking for that right now.
Yeah, it seems like it was Representative Osterman might have put a million or two towards that.
Senator Meyer, through the chair, on previous legislative consideration, it says received $1 million. DEC, Division of Environmental Health, received $1 million of federal receipt authority in FY13.
Gail, if you could pause for a moment. We have joining us at the microphone here in Anchorage, Elaine, is it Bussey?
Bussey
Floyd. She's with the State of Alaska Department of Environmental Conservation. Ms. Floyd, do you have an answer for Senator Meyer's question?
Yes, I do, Madam Chair. Thank you. Senator Meyer, through the chair. The $1 million, introduce myself, Elaine Bussey Floyd, Director, Environmental Health, Department of Environmental Conservation. Senator Meyer, through the chair. The $1 million in capital appropriation that the legislature gave, it was $1 million. It went directly, through the Department of Commerce to the NGOs that directly do marine debris cleanup. The department received $1 million in federal authority 2 years ago for us to receive the money from NOAA from the government of Japan, and we are asking NOAA again for $1.5 million of that government of Japan money. So for a total right now, Alaska will either have received or poised to receive a total of $2.5 million of the $5 million that the government of Japan gave to the United States.
Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So if we get this, we will have received $2.5 million from the federal government on top of the $1 million that we appropriated in general funds?
Yes, sir.
So that's $3.5 million towards this project. Is that going to be enough to clean up the mess? I remember Representative Osterman first approached me on this, and I asked if the fishing industry was helping as well, and I don't think they have been. Have you received any money from any other sources?
EVOS contributed money directly, again, to one of their contractors, one of our marine debris cleanup NGOs, and the state of Alaska itself contributed $200,000 in fiscal year 12 for that first aerial survey that that produced the evidence that we were seeing on the ground, but then we had aerial evidence over 8,000 pictures of the tsunami debris all along the coast of Alaska in the Gulf of Alaska. And no, in answer to your question, sir, $3.5 million isn't enough either, but it's what we have to work with. There'll be about $1 million of the government of Japan money left when after Alaska receives the 1.5 that, like I said, we're poised to receive. We've actually heard from NOAA that our statement of work, which is our contract request essentially, has been signed in early December, but it needs clearance from a couple layers up, so we haven't actually received the money yet, but it's on its way. And then Alaska will be asking for additional funding next year after we see how the 2015 season goes.
Okay, great. And then, Chair, if I can just follow up, and I've kind of lost track of this whole tragedy. Was Alaska hit the hardest of all the western states and Canada?
Yes, Senator Meyer, through the chair. Yes, Alaska was hit the hardest with the most coastline, and the way the wind and ocean currents sort of bypassed the majority of the Pacific states, they definitely got some debris, but not anywhere near to the extent that we have, and they're able to report that their beaches are clean now. Even British Columbia, who has coastline more similar to ours, reported recently that they're pretty sure they're all tidied up as well. That might not be exactly the right word, but their beaches are, of course, in a different situation than ours. They're normally flat. You can drive on them and access them. Civilians can access them easily, and ours are more of an industrial operation to get to.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Senator Meyer. Any other questions for committee members? Representative Herron.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I guess the question is if anybody, public or otherwise, the legislature, is there a report that we can read and just for to know what the scale is and how successful or not successful the contractors were?
Yes, Representative Herring, through the chair. We submitted a report last year to the legislature. We have not finished compiling reports from the 2014 season yet, but I'll be able to make a report this session.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Thank you, Ms. Floyd, for joining us. Are there any other questions on this RPL? We have been requested. We do have someone from the Exxon Valdez Oil Spill Trust Council online. If the committee will allow me, we'll take that testimony before moving on. Senator Bishop, Representative Kawasaki, any questions on the last RPL? Representative Olson?
This is Scott. That's for me. Thank you, Madam Chair.
None for me. Thanks.
None for me, Madam Chairman.
All for staying online. Elise, is it Heischel?
Good morning. It's Elise Chia. Thank you, Madam Chairman. I was on the line earlier, but unfortunately I had gotten myself muted, so I apologize for the delay to address the prior RPL that was on your agenda regarding the Cordova Center. And Representative Myers' questions through the chair. The Cordova Center project has been going on for several years. It was pursued by the trustee council and supported by state and federal trustees back in 2010. Then there was a delay in getting the funding to the Cordova Center construction project due to the Department of Justice. There were concerns regarding the project. The department has worked very closely with the Department of Justice to get those concerns resolved and get the money flowing to Cordova. But during that time, the construction costs increased significantly. That was, if you all remember, it was on the tails of the dramatic market downturn in 2008 when construction materials were at a lower, the estimates were lower, and by the time Cordova received the funding, the construction estimates had. In the interim, the Cordova Center, which has been managed very nicely by DCED, they did have an issue with a contractor. It delayed the project somewhat, but really the cost expansion had to do with that initial delay where we needed to work closely with the Department of Justice to allay their concerns, and they are supportive of this project again. So the scope has not increased at the Cordova Center since the 2010 funding initially by the Trustee Council. The Trustee Council again approved another 1.3, however, it was contingent upon fundraising and additional monies. That fundraising continues. They're getting closer to the two-thirds mark, which will allow us to release the 1.3, which they very much need for this final push and stage to complete this project. When they do hit the two-thirds mark, which they're getting closer, I know they've raised about $750,000 from Rasmussen recently, and are also putting a bond in March before the city of Cordova for another $3 million, which I'm hoping will push us to that edge and we can release our 1.3. However, if we don't have this approved by your body, then I think that makes it more difficult on the budget side for it to pass through the state agencies that we are coordinating with to get this project funded. I'm working closely with Department of Justice and Department of Law. They are poised to release the funding as soon as that two-thirds mark is hit, and we are eager to get the project completed. As for final construction estimates, I think the city of Cordova could best speak to those, but they've been updating us, and it appears that they're trying to get this last push and the project completed this spring. With regard to operational costs, they haven't discussed that. I think the city in past resolutions with the trustee council had agreed to cover the maintenance costs and operating costs of the facility. I hope that additional information assists this committee, and I appreciate your time and interest in this important project and are hopefully completing it very soon.
Thank you, Ms. Shia. Are there any additional questions from committee members? Thank you for joining us online. There are no questions.
Thank you very much.
Representative Hawker, my understanding is the will of the committee is to advance the RPLs for 0211 and 0360. Is that
I'm seeing nodding heads for those of you online. Representative Hawker.
Madam Chair, I move and ask unanimous consent that the committee approve the following RPLs. RPL number 05-5-2011, the Department of Education and Early Development, $120,000 of statutory designated program receipts, and RPL number 18-5-0360, Department of Environmental Conservation, $1,500,000 in federal receipt authority.
Thank you, Representative Hawker. Are there any objections? Seeing and hearing none, those RPLs are approved. The next item on the agenda is to move into executive session for the purpose of discussing confidential audit reports. I will ask Pauline Swanson, as earlier stated, staff to the incoming chairman, Representative Hawker, to stay in the room, as well as my staff, Laura Pierre and Aaron Schein, and the auditor, as well as her support team. Representative Hawker.
Madam Chair, I move and ask unanimous consent that the Legislative Budget and Audit Committee enter into executive session under AS 24.20.301 for the purpose of discussing confidential audit reports.
Thank you, Representative Hawker. Are there any objections? Hearing no objections, I'll ask the room, the internet stream, and the teleconference be cleared for the executive session, with the exception of audit and committee staff, as well as the contract staff for the Department of Corrections performance review. We'll stand at ease until all systems are clear. It is still Tuesday, December 16th. It's 11:22 a.m. This is the Legislative Budget and Audit Committee. We are in the temporary building for the Anchorage LIO and coming out of executive session. We still have a quorum to conduct business. Representative Olson.
Go here.
Senator Bishop.
Present.
Thank you, sir. Senator Meyer is here. Still with us. Senator Diesel. Myself, Senator McKinnon, Representative Hawker, Representative Herron, Representative Kawasaki, are you with us? Okay, we still have a quorum to do business. Representative Hawker.
Madam Chair, I move the following final audits be released to the public. The Department of Commerce, Community and Economic Development, Alcohol Beverage Control Board Sunset Review, and the Department of Commerce, Community and Economic Development, Regulatory Commission of Alaska, FY13 Annual Report.
Thank you, Representative Hawker. Are there any objections? Hearing no objections, the motion is approved.
Madam Chair.
Representative Hawker.
I'm going to do this one on the fly, but Madam Chair, I move that the committee direct the legislative auditor to perform a preliminary sampling and report to the Legislative Budget and Audit Committee regarding the error rate noted in the FY13 report at the RCA, but looking at the FY14 database and give us a preliminary response prior to actually completing the full FY14 report.
Thank you, Representative Hawker. Ms. Curtis, has that motion been appropriately stated?
Representative Hawker, through the chair, we will not be required to audit the FY14 annual report. We'll have to do the 15 report, but we are happy to go in and look at the error rate as a proactive measure.
In the FY14 data.
And specifically, I believe, tariffs drove the recommendation, tariffs.
Thank you, Representative Hawker. Does that reflect
Absolutely.
Your intent? Thank you. Is there any objection from committee members? Seeing and hearing none, that motion is approved. Representative Hawker.
Madam Chair, I move the Department of Corrections Performance Review final report be released to the public.
Thank you, Representative Hawker. Are there any objections from committee members? Seeing and hearing none, that motion is approved. With the indulgence of the committee, I would like to state on the record that it is my intent as the chairman of the Legislative Budget and Audit Committee to enter into a contract not to exceed $35,000 with CGL to look at population management, both the back end and the front end, and health care costs that the state is currently incurring. And I would like your support in that, even though it's not a motion and it is under my authority. Mm-hmm. Any comments from committee members?
I might place on the record that the part of the health care cost examination is specifically to provide information and guidance on the ability to recover health care costs from either Medicaid, Medicare, or IHS, or any other outside source.
Private insurance companies included.
Private insurance included.
Thank you, Representative Hawker. Any other comments? In regards to population management, I'd like to put on the record that we are looking at back-end population management, which would be administrative authority, looking at possibly early release and crafting an authority to do that inside of Alaska state statute and consistent with Alaska's constitution. In addition to that, we would like to look into the front-end management of population and going into the system and looking at and seeing if there's other ways that we might provide care and guidance to those that are becoming incarcerated in prisons at this time. With that, the next item before us is education. Ms. Curtis.
Thank you. For the record, this is Chris Curtis, Legislative Auditor, representing the Division of Legislative Audit. I did want to inform the committee that I have released the opinion on the state's FY14 basic financial statements. In the opinion dated December 10th, the state did receive an unqualified opinion for all of its opinion units except the general fund and the governmental activities. Both the general fund and the governmental activities received a qualified opinion. Because we were unable to gather sufficient, adequate audit evidence about the Medicaid services and the related federal revenues. The Medicaid system was replaced October 1st, 2013. It's been plagued with system defects since it came online. Despite a great deal of audit effort on behalf of the team, as well as a great deal of effort in working with the Department of Health and Social Services program staff, the defects were so significant that we could not obtain enough evidence upon which to base an opinion.
Thank you, Ms. Curtis. Are there any questions from committee members? Seeing and hearing none, agenda item number five, other committee business includes contract and audit findings. We have the education studies next on the agenda. We'll discuss two education studies this committee was tasked with under HB 278. The Education Studies Subcommittee completed the two scopes on October 28th. The next step is to issue two RFPs to contract out studies for completion. Members, you have copies of those scopes that were submitted by the subcommittee. Ms. Pierre.
For the record, Laura Pierre, staff to Senator McKinnon and the Legislative Budget and Audit Committee. The members have before them both scopes of work that the subcommittee worked through and approved. So those are, as you stated, Senator McKinnon, they are ready to go out to RFP. They are currently at legal for final review, but the hope is if the committee chooses to approve that today would be for the RFP to hit the street tomorrow and a 21-day open proposal, and then I think within the RFP has the timeline of how the RFP will be developed or how the study will be developed and when the final report is due back to the legislature.
Thank you, Sierra. The questions from committee members.
Just a question. So,
Senator Meyer.
Madam Chair, thank you. Alaska vendors get more points, correct? Is it 10 points or 15 points? And the only reason I bring that up is just that I think you're going to want somebody within the state of Alaska doing this just because our education system is, I don't know, has a long history.
Senator Meyer, through the chair, yes, there is the Alaska bidder preference. So someone who has a business license to do business in the state of Alaska will get the Alaska bidder preference. To date, I can say, and I think Ross has heard from one company anyway, they are Alaska-based, and I think that's what we will probably see as far as responses is Alaska-based companies.
Thank you, Senator Meyer. Any other questions? Representative Hawker.
I'd like to put on the record that these RFPs look pretty simple sitting on a piece of paper here, but through our subcommittee process that Senator McKinnon led, these things have been worked through literally word by word, line by line, concept by concept, with the subcommittee. So there was an awful lot of thought went into making sure we have very good, clear directions in these RFPs that comply with the statute and intent behind HB 278.
Thank you, Representative Hawker.
And Senator McKinnon, once the RFP closes, it will come back to this committee for essentially another subcommittee to score the RFPs on both of them. So it'll be two separate. They'll be scored, and then it will be awarded based on that process.
Representative Hawker.
It may be awarded. Even though we get compliant responses, we do not necessarily have to award if we decide we're uncomfortable with the outcome.
Absolutely.
Any further comments or questions? Representative Hawker.
Madam Chair, I move the Legislative Budget and Audit Committee authorize the Chair as Procurement Officer to solicit and award a contract for an amount not to exceed a total contract amount of $225,000 for a study of the state education funding structure.
Thank you, Representative Hawker. Are there any objections? Seeing and hearing none, that motion is approved.
Madam Chair, I move that the Legislative Budget and Audit Committee authorize the Chair as Procurement Officer to solicit and award a contract for an amount not to exceed a total contract amount of $275,000 for a study of Alaska's school funding formula.
Thank you, Representative Hawker. Are there any objections from the committee? Seeing and hearing none, that motion is approved. Next on the agenda is a discussion of the Legislative Oil and Gas Consultants. Similar to when I took over the gavel of this committee, I am getting a firm contract in place to allow for a smooth transition as we go into session. This will allow for no interruption of consulting services as we continue our business with oil and gas discussions. Everyone knows that Representative Hawker is incoming chair, and that was the practice when we took over the committee. So first on the agenda is a discussion of Janik and Nikos's contracts. Ms. Pierre, do you have any comments for us to consider on that?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Again, Laura Pierce, staff to the committee, and Senator McKinnon. This is simple. We would be doing new contracts for them rather than continuing to amend their current contract. Their current contract has a specific scope that they and proposal that they gave to this committee, and this committee authorized. The new contract isn't necessarily based on any scope or proposal that they've presented to us. It's more of general consulting on a plethora of oil and gas-related matters to be available to the legislature. We would continue to maintain their $10,000 monthly retainer with additional payment based on daily rate for amount of work done outside the $10,000 monthly retainer of, I think it's 40 hours total. So that of course, is up for discussion. If the committee wanted to do something different, that's something that we have been doing since August, and it seems to work quite well with the needs of the legislature and not paying a significant amount for work that maybe isn't being completed.
Thank you, Ms. Pierre. Are there questions from committee members? Representative Herron.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just for the record, is that there might be a site-specific project and we could enter into a contract with them at a future date, right?
Representative Herron, that's correct. Representative Hawker.
And Madam Chair, I completely support the continuity that's being planned here, bringing Janik and Nikos on board on this basis. Those contracts always do have termination clauses, should we desire to. They've got all the proper bells and whistles in them. So the state's appropriately protected in this. So I totally support the continuity of these two as our core background, keeping in mind that these are largely financial modelers and economists here. I would like to suggest, I'm reading the motion that's in front of me,
mm-hmm.
and we talk about the last two lines, the last sentence there, the not to exceed a total amount for, it says, each contractor of $200,000 for professional services, but we've got two separate motions, so I believe the better wording would be the amount for the contractor, since it's referring specifically to Mr. Janik Meyer, and then on the bottom one, it would be for the contractor, Nikos Tassafos, of $200,000.
Ms. Pierre?
Through the chair, Representative Hawker, that is correct. Yes, absolutely. And I also wanted to point out in the memo that was provided to the committee, it says $175,000. And speaking with our folks over at audit, it seems more reasonable to do $200,000. With their monthly retainer, it would start February 1st of 2015, and the duration would last through January 31st of 2016. So essentially 12 months there, $120,000, and that $80,000 would kind of be a little bit of a buffer as far as travel expenses, as well as potentially special projects that we would want them to do.
Thank you, Ms. Keir. We hope to have a natural gas pipeline in front of us, and there may be the need for additional briefings specifically for those that are new to the legislature. So as Representative Hawker takes over the reins, this committee may be in a position to put forward a gas symposium so that we make sure that everyone has the knowledge and the information that has been provided to past legislators, as well as receiving briefings from the upcoming administration and how they're negotiating inside the confines of advancing a natural gas pipeline to Alaska. And so with that, I would ask for your support. Representative Hawker.
Madam Chair, I move the Legislative Budget and Audit Committee authorize the Chair as Procurement Officer to enter into a contract with Mr. Janik Mayer for professional services regarding oil and gas fiscal systems and project designs, concepts, and agreements as provided by the exemption in Legislative Procurement Procedure 040, subparagraph A, subparagraph 1, and findings by the procurement officer, not to exceed a total contract amount for the contractor of $200,000 for professional services provided through January 31st, 2016.
Thank you. Are there any objections? Seeing and hearing none, that motion is approved. Representative Hawker.
Madam Chair, I move the Legislative Budget and Audit Committee authorize the Chair as procurement officer to enter into a contract with Mr. Nico Safos for professional services regarding oil and gas fiscal systems and project designs, concepts, and agreements as provided by the exemption in Legislative Procurement Procedure 040, subparagraph A, subparagraph 1, and findings by the procurement officer, not to exceed a total contract amount for the contractor of $200,000 for professional services provided through January 31st, 2016.
Thank you. Are there any objections from committee members? Seeing and hearing none, that motion is approved. I would like to advise the committee that we had a request to enter into contracts with other consultants, and at this time we are postponing that decision until we see what this administration plans to do as far as advancing an energy project. So we believe that at this time we have our consultants standing ready to go forward and assist the legislature, and then in January this committee can reevaluate whether they want to actually expend any additional dollars for contract support services. Ms. Pierre.
I would just add to that, Ross and the audit office and I have been working on that contract regardless. So if Representative Hawker, as incoming chair, chooses to go forward with an RFP process for another consultant or additional consultant, that will be ready and available to him to move fairly quickly on it.
Thank you.
If I might add to that.
Representative Hawker.
Since we don't know what we're getting into in this coming environment with this administration, we don't know if they're going to pull the plug on these projects or whether they're going to move them or what direction. At this time, we're uncertain of what resources we might need and when we might need it. So we do need to be nimble here. But in addition to the consulting service, or the broad realm of consulting services, whatever that might be, we may very well also require and likely will more legally oriented service for contract review and analysis as well.
Thank you, Representative Hawker. Senator Bishop, are you still there?
I am, ma'am. Yes, I am. Just get ready to leave, though. I'm running late, so.
Thank you, sir. Representative Olson?
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you so much. Just wanted to make sure we had the quorum for everything that we've done. Everyone is still here, so is there any other items of business to come before the committee? seeing and hearing none, it is 11:40, Tuesday, December 16th, and the LBNA committee is adjourned. Thank you all for participating.
Thanks, ma'am.
Another one of these.